Okay, can you hear me?
Excellent, right. Okay, well, this summer, I think everybody knows this, so I'm going to say it again. I became a grandfather. So, but I actually found out something else about myself, which I never knew. But I'll firstly just mention the grandfather. That was a picture coming up. This is, I'm sorry, it's a little bit, but this is me reading to my first grandchild, also a grandchild of two of the members of our church as well, just want to emphasize. There am I reading a book about llamas, very carefully, and reading every page. You can see that she's very interested in every detail. I didn't mention they spit. I kept that off. That will be the next installment. Anyway, that's one thing I discovered this, well, found out and happened to me this summer, but I discovered something else. And that was that when my sister came, she told me something I never knew about myself. All up to the age of 45, I discovered something I never knew about myself. So she said, and look at the next picture, there's a picture of me. Can anybody guess which one is me? The one on the right. Who said that? Was it you? Oh, the one on the right. Well, look, there's my sister. Can anybody guess which one's me? The little one, yes. So this picture is of me when I'm small, and there's my brother on the left. There are three things I need to say about this picture. Number one, you should all be asking yourself, where did the blonde locks go? What? Look at that. I mean, what's happened? Anyway, that's the first thing. Second one is, what am I wearing? But remember, this is a good, you know, this is 1975. That's right, I'm having a joke with Tom and he doesn't even realise. But the big thing was, my sister announced to me, he says, you did know you were an accident. I went, what? What do you mean? You know, Dad and Mum did not plan you. I was like, what are you talking about? And she said that Dad and Mum were very happy with a boy and girl, nice equated family, and that I was a surprise. I never knew this. Absolutely never knew this. And I mean, age of 45, my head nearly fell off. I was like, what? And she said, oh yeah, you were a surprise. Mum and Dad didn't plan you. So there you go. There's a fact I found out about my beginning. But what I want to talk about today is about our beginnings as a Christian. Because actually, if you are a Christian, we've all got the same beginning, unlike perhaps your story. You may be planned, you may be unplanned, you may be a surprise, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But in God, we're going to look at the beginning. What happened at the beginning? Because we're all born the same. And this enables us to understand about the family of God, which is the series we're looking at. Okay? And this is what the Bible tells us about us at the beginning. Next slide. It tells us two incredibly important things. And we've even been singing about them today. If you just go to the next slide. So, Julie's just so excited about my blonde locks, aren't you? Yeah, I know. Anyway. A surprise. Anyway, these two truths are so important that when we look at the family of God, which we've been doing over the last two or three months, this is firstly true. We are first adopted by the Father, and therefore we are adopted into his family. And every single person, if you're a Christian today, you've had the same birth. Okay? So I wanted today to look at a little bit our adoption as sons. So we've had a really good series so far looking at the history of the plan of the church, the whole presence of God, the plan for God for the world, which is what Tom did. We've looked at loving one another at its core for this family. The family of God is loving one another at its core. We've looked at a family from many nations from Mark. We've looked at a family that is different but the same, diverse but unified by Craig, which was a couple of weeks ago. But today I want to look at that beginning, how this affects our walk with each other. We need to understand more about our beginning so we can then walk with each other with that understanding. And this comes back to this doctrine called adoption as sons. Now, it's a funny sort of word, adoption, but did you know it's one of the least understood doctrines or the least preached doctrines for many years? In fact, I hardly heard the word adoption probably till I was probably around 25, 30 years old, and then I suddenly heard that, oh, that's in the Bible. I didn't understand it. J.I. Packer, who is a very big theologian, says that it's the least preached doctrine from the Bible, yet it is the most important. And this is a quote from J.I. Packer. Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. So as I said, to understand who we are as a family, who we really are in a family of God, we need to understand our adoption into that family. You know, to really grow in relationships, to be able to be vulnerable to each other, that's something, you know, as a hub we've been looking at, vulnerability, we need to know our adoption. To be able to father and mother each other, which is one of the things we're going to be talking a lot about in October, both, you know, parents and also fathering, mothering in the church. To understand that and be able to do that, we need to understand, firstly, our adoption. To grow in our giftings and motivations, the things that God has given us to do, we need to understand more about our adoption. And also to grow in our mission, to understand who we are as we go out and we start to share the gospel with people. It's only a matter of time before CAP will bring people amongst us who are very different from us, okay? It's only a matter of time. The clock's ticking, isn't it? Okay, maybe not be this year, maybe not, whatever, but it is only ticking. And God will bring up us. And do you know what's going to happen as people come amongst us? They'll see our relationships. And if we've grasped who we are, and if we've grasped our adoption, it will be completely different for those people who come amongst us. It will really challenge them. I just want to encourage you. When Marco was with us, I drove him back to the airport at the end of our weekend, last weekend. And he just was chatting about Adrian and his boat and everything like that. It was great fun. We had a great time on the boat, by the way. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that I was seasick. That was wrong. I only took a tablet because everybody else was being seasick. And I was worried it was infectious. But anyway, that's an aside. But what he said to me, he just said, you know, you guys, the two things that stand out as you, as King's House Perth, is your sense of community. He said it's utterly outstanding. And in fact, he laughed as he left on Saturday from Brian and Sue's house, as the house was throbbing full of people and he was tired going to bed. He says, I bet that's going to be a long night. And I said, yeah, it probably is. And he just said there's such a sense of community. And also the other thing he said about us we are so hungry. So hungry for God. He said, that sense of wanting to receive. But do you know those two things, community and hunger, are all about us knowing our sonship. You know, it says, to enter the kingdom of God, you need to be like a child. You need to be hungry. You want to receive. So his principle behind this is that we are moving in this. But I want us to encourage us. Because it is, our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. So I want to look at it and get every bit of it out. Right, okay, let's look at scripture. There are several scriptures that I could turn your head to. One in Galatians 4, which virtually says the same thing as this. It's a little bit wider. But the one I want to focus on today is in our Romans 8 passage, which we did look at earlier last year. And this is what it says. So Paul is writing to the Romans, and he says this: "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Just a couple of things I want to look at. Firstly, the word received. The word received the spirit of adoption. So if you just go to the next slide. Adoption is received. It doesn't just happen. It is something we receive. Okay? It is not I can say a few things. It is something that the Bible teaches is received. We are, just what we've been singing about this today, he receives us, his open arms, he's reaching out to us, but it's something we receive. The second point I just want to quickly say about adoption is this: adoption is experiential, not just legal. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is, it is something that you can experience and should experience. It's not just a legal transaction that we sort of nod our heads to. It's something that we actually receive, and it's actually deep down, it's an experience. So the word spirit of usually gives an indication, when Paul writes that, that he's talking about something that's not just fact, it's an experience of that fact. It's not just legal. Now, I just want to cover the legal side of what adoption is. Some people don't understand what adoption is, so let's just cover it. What we understand adoption is when a father and mother adopts a child that is not theirs. Yeah? It's not from the father and mother. An adoption process is a process in which a person, the adoptive parents, assume legal responsibility for a child. Once the adoption is finalized, there is no legal difference between an adopted child and the one which is born into the biological family. The child is their own. All previous debts are wiped out, and the child becomes the responsibility of the new father and mother, and the child becomes an heir to that father and mother, potentially an heir. That's what happens, and that's what happened in the Roman times. It's very similar today, exactly the same. What does the Bible say about this? We need to understand what we were before, first. The Bible says we are orphans. That we may have a father and mother, but we're all spiritual orphans. When the Garden of Eden, when we walked with the Father in his presence, when sin came, we were banished from his presence. And there was an angel put at the gate and with a sword, and we could never enter God's presence. We became orphaned in that moment. The door shut for the presence of God and the relationship with God. And that echo of that door shutting went through the whole of it, whole of the universe. And that moment, we were spiritually orphaned. We lost the Father's presence. We were in the Father's presence. We walked with him. It says we walked with him in the cool of the evening. That's all gone. And that moment that occurred, that sin occurred, and the consequence of that sin, that moment we came, we were orphaned. Orphan means It is someone whose father and mother are no longer present. That's what we are. That's how we were born. Spiritual orphans. I always think of the amazing scene in Oliver Twist when Oliver went to the workhouse. I'll never forget the film. I've seen the film. The film's great. And I've read the bits of the book, which is even better, Charles Dickens. And he writes about when Oliver enters into that hall where all of the orphans are eating. And it is horrendous because all of them are fighting over the food because there's very little food. So they're all fighting each other. And that whole consequence of that horrendous situation of an orphan who's desperately trying to get provision for themselves and they're fighting each other causes that amazing sentence was, "Please, sir, can I have some more, sir?" Because he lost his food and he was cajoled to get hold of, and of course we know the story from Oliver Twist. You know, as an orphan, we don't know God will provide. We desperately try and manipulate things to make sure we're okay. We try and grab at food. I know that sounds obvious, but we grab at all sorts of things because we want meaning. We've lost meaning. We've lost the Father. We've lost purpose. So we try and strangle other things to give us that purpose. That's what an orphan heart does. I always remember I was down in London, and to my shame, I was sat in a meeting, and they came and laid out this loads of food over on this table. And I don't know whether I was just not thinking correctly or whether I was tired or something, but halfway through the meeting, I just thought, I'm hungry. So I just got up and went over to these tables, and all these other people are in the meeting. We're all discussing some business, something going on. And I just started shuffling onto my plate, and I thought, I'll have a sandwich. Well, that flan looks good. And And then after about a few seconds, when I got my plate this big, I realized the rest of the room were looking at me as if to say, "What are you doing? It's not even lunchtime yet." And as I sort of came back to the table with, you know, at least three people's lunches, my boss went, "Oh, I can see you're quite hungry, Julian." Oh, and I felt so humiliated. I suddenly thought, what have I done? I was so embarrassed, but I was actually displaying, ironically, what we're like. Orphans grab because they've lost connection with the Father. Meaning of life, why we're here. We desperately try and take things in our lives and squeeze them. John 14, verse 18 says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, I know he's referring to Jesus' presence. But what he's inferring is without Jesus, we are orphans. That when God comes, that deep thing in us, that orphan heart is resolved. And God does. He comes. And we receive adoption that we could never do ourselves. We could never, ever get it in any form. But he comes and he adopts us and brings us into his family. Through adoption, the adoptive parent, which is God, assumes a permanent legal responsibility for us. Have you thought of that? He takes responsibility for us. He considers immediately we are his. We are his own. He takes all of your debt, all of the previous, your life, and he just purchases the whole lot. All that sin, all that grabbing, all that orphan heart, all of it, and he just purchases the whole lot and takes away the debt. An orphan would have all these debts removed, and it's the same for us. It is phenomenal. And we become the responsibility of our new father. And then we enter into a family where Jesus is our big brother who's already there. And we then inherit everything that Jesus has got for us. It is absolutely mind-blowing legally. We are now inheritors of the inheritance of Jesus. But even that can sound great, but it can sound legal. But the Bible in this verse teaches us that adoption is even deeper than that. Because it says this, in that scripture it says, by the Spirit, we receive the Spirit of adoption and we cry, Abba, Father. Now, I know many people have heard this expression before, Abba, Father. And most of us, they immediately know that Abba, Father, Abba is a word like daddy. So we immediately think of a child running up to a daddy saying, Daddy, Daddy, I want an ice cream, please. Yeah, that's what we would think of, because it is actually, that's how we've understood it. In Aramaic, that's how people have translated it. Unfortunately, that's not quite right. The cry of an 8-year-old is actually, they're quite cute, aren't they? They know if they're cute, they might get an ice cream. They want the ice cream. Daddy, Daddy, can I have an ice cream? Yeah? They know you are the vehicle to something else. This cry, Abba Father, is infinitely more primal than that. Infinitely deeper than that. It's not an 8-year-old. It's a tiny baby almost coming out of the womb. That's the cry. And what happens when a child is born? They cry. Why? Because it's cold. They've just been in a nice tank getting food on tap. And then suddenly they're ripped out and now they're in this weird place called the world and it's cold. And what do? They go, wah! That's the cry he's talking about. Actually, when one of our children was born, there was a moment, because the birth would have been quite long, there was a moment when the baby didn't cry. Just for a second or two. I have never seen nurses move so fast. These midwives were like, trolleys were moved out of the way, baby was taken away, because they wanted to sort it, because they know that cry is so important, because it's that cry. That's the cry. It's a cry of belonging. It's a cry of wanting to be near the Father. It's a cry that says, deep down, I want to be near you. I want to be near you. It's only a Christian can do this. That sense of wanting to be in his presence. That sense of that is what adoption is. We are adopted and the cry of our heart is for him to be on his neck, to be round his neck, to be held by him. That's what Paul's talking about. It's not a legal transaction. It's quite a very physical, fluffy, emotional thing. And deep down in our hearts, that's the cry we have. And that's what's answered by adoption. It's experiential. It is not just a fact. The Holy Spirit gives us a primal language which we want to be with him. We want to thirst for him. We want his presence. I don't know about you, but on Saturday night, there was a moment where I just wanted more of God. You know, I batted around a bit, that was a good song, a nice bit of keyboard playing, that was a good word about it, and then suddenly, oh yeah, I want to be here, I want more of him, please, that heart, it was in there. That's what he's talking about, that cry for his presence. And do you know, individually, that's true, but corporately, that's true too. We are together, cry for his presence and want his presence more and more and be with him. And that actually is happening when that cry occurs. It's experiential, not just legal. And anyway, I'm going to finish on this point. The next point, which is this. Our adoption as sons is really totally understood in community. Yes, it's individual. And if you read Ephesians, it's a classic book where the first two chapters of Ephesians is all about the individual. And then Paul being a master of it. He changes it and he turns it into the collective, because actually we are a body and we've been adopted into a body. And actually truly understanding all of our adoption as sons comes in community. We discover the depth, the width, and the glory of our sonship together. We've been born into a new family. We've been born into a family with fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. In fact, some scriptures say we're baptized into that body. That's a similar concept. We're baptized into a body which we didn't choose. That's the other problem. When we avoid, you know, you say, well, okay, that's all great. I'm really enjoying that. I like the stuff on adoption. I really like that. It's great. But I'm baptized into the church. Oh, that's all great. But it's actually not of our choosing. We do not choose our brothers and sisters in that way. I didn't choose my brother. Do you know my brother? You know that, you know, the one on the left? He's my brother, my blood brother, yeah? I didn't choose him. He's very different to me. He likes organ music and bird watching and talks endlessly about 16th century choirs and singing Baroque things. I don't know what they are. I'm into progressive rock, loud music, and weird stuff, all right? We are like poles apart, but, I mean, some people have actually seen us together and think, gosh, you're just like two peas in a pod, so we're similar as well. But we are different. I did not choose my brother. I was born into that family, and this is the same concept. We are born into a family, into a community. It's not our choosing. And I think we're aware that this family is of many ages. There's people here, should I say, over 80? There are people in our church who are less than one, in our community anyway. There are many nations in this church, and there should be more. There are many backgrounds, people with different life situations and backgrounds, and experiences, good and bad. There are many educational backgrounds. There's many political views, as Craig covered last 2 weeks ago. There's many different interests and very different giftings and motivations, even how, what, and church should be and what we should do in it. I can promise you, if I line you all up, you all have a different opinion what Sunday morning should be about. It happens. We are different. But here's the amazing truth. As we rub up against each other, as we actually rub up in those differences, we discover more about our sonship. Because we can stay, as Craig beautifully covered, actually, we can stay at the point of just conflict and just say, yeah, no political opinions, we'll stay and we'll fight, and I'm right, you're wrong, and you're right, and whatever, and that's it. But actually, what we need to do is go step down and think about that incredible adoption as a son, which is every single person is the same. As we rub up against each other, it gives an opportunity to discover more about our sonship. I've discovered more about my sonship through conflict and difficulty, challenge, irritation, and frustration than anything else. There is another way, which I'm going to cover in a minute. But it's actually through the challenge of other people causes me to re-understand, re-evaluate and understand my sonship and adoption. Here's a good cut to the chase, right? You could say, yes, I'm a son of God. I'm adopted. Yes. I get that. I'm no longer ruled by performance anymore. Before a father who loves me, everything's good. Until somebody else in the church performs better than you. Somebody else gets promoted to a role that you think you should do. Or somebody gets chosen instead of you. What comes out? That moment, we have a challenge. We have orphan thinking or discovering our sonship and understanding our sonship. just to say, just to clarify what I mean by orphan thinking, is different to orphan heart. If you're a Christian, you can never, ever lose God. God won't lose you, and you won't lose him. There are times when you feel you're lost, but you are saved. You are brought into his kingdom. Your name is in the book of life, right? So orphan heart is something that you are delivered from, and I've just described some of the effects of that. But in our thinking, we can still think like an orphan. So that's why the Bible teaches that we need to be renewed by our mind, in our minds. It's not overnight. All of your thinking gets changed. You yourself, yes, new identity, but our thinking still remains. And we need to challenge it. So it is about understanding our new creation, who we are, we're adopted. Also challenging in our hearts when that orphan heart pops out. And I've given you a good example. Performance. Here's another one. I'm a son. I'm adopted. I'm not ruled by fear. I get that now. But then an opportunity comes to be vulnerable and open. Where do we go there? Fear gets a foothold, wants to keep the mask. I keep my mask. I must keep my mask. I must keep myself hidden. I can't really share who I am. Do you see? Well, there's another opportunity to walk in our adoption and our sonship. Here's another one. I'm a son. I'm adopted. Until I hear other people's opinions in the church. Or people who are younger than me. Or children that annoy me. Or I get older people that annoy me. Or the education of somebody annoys me or challenges me. Or the wealth of somebody annoys me and challenges me. Or the nationhood of somebody annoys me and challenges me. Or their status annoys me. That, you know, they're a leader and all this starts. And we suddenly allow those things to challenge us. Again, we have an opportunity to discover more of our sonship and challenge our orphan thinking. And it's by the renewal of our mind. It's about going back again to the truth of we were adopted and we are his son and we belong to him. It's allowing the experience of adoption to happen in our hearts more and more. We've got it, but we need to understand it more. It's allowing that. Now that can be the negative, and I'll finish on the positive. That can be a negative way of learning about our adoption, yeah, rubbing up against each other. But there's a positive way as well. And it still comes from each other. And it's this, that your true sonship and who you are is often recognized by people around you more than yourself. And you need people to share with you and encourage you. You will not see it by yourself. It's like anointing. It's a great example. I often have people come to me and say, oh, I'm anointed, I want to do this. And I always think, okay, what does the rest of the people see? Do they see it? Because often anointing is seen by others, not by yourself. That's slightly negative, but the positive is we need to say to each other, we can see growth as a son, and we can say, wow, that's fantastic, well done. I can see that you've changed here. I can see that you're bringing something that is just so of God and from the Father to me. You can encourage each other as much as the negative that rubs up. It can also be the positive and see each other. And one of the great examples is honor. When you lift somebody up, you lift them up in honor and you say, wow, that's how you're created. You're lifting them up, but you're also saying and stating over them the truths that they are growing in God and they are a son of the King. So we need to also remember, in community, we can do this together and grow. I just want to finish there, and I'm going to ask God to come. So I want all of us to just stand up. because we're all sons. We're all adopted by an incredible father. I'm desperate for you. And I think we just need to receive a little bit and just let God. So there may be some things I've led you to thought, made you trigger in your mind. Maybe you need to express to God that you need him. You need his presence. You know, we sing these songs. We sing them over and over again, frequently, and they're so right about we need your presence, Lord. We sung Waiting for You Today was a classic song about the presence of God. I want you to think about that cry inside, as Paul describes, that's wanting to have his presence, not his ice creams. Just let him speak to you, encourage you. Now, I want to pray for some people today to understand and grasp more of their adoption. And it may be that you need more of his presence, more of his touch on your life. Maybe there's areas you're just not sure at times you feel his. Life can batter us, but the truth is we are his, and he is ours. So maybe something there. Also, I just want to talk about performance. It may be something that you've struggled with when you see other people given stuff or get stuff and you don't. And you want to deal with that orphan thinking. I want you to be real with God and say, I want that exchange. I want to understand more of my sonship, my adoption, than this. You replace the lie with the truth. You don't just remove the lie. That doesn't work. The truth is you are loved. You are loved, and you are loved, and you are loved. Maybe fear has got a bit of a foothold, and you fear other people knowing you. But again, go back, just hold your hands out to God and say, more, I just want to be able to be vulnerable with people and you, Lord, because I'm a son. I'll never lose my sonship. You're permanently my father, and you will provide. He asks us to trust him. Maybe it's in provision. When I talked about Oliver Twist, that you just struggle and you grab at things to get something because you fear you're going to miss out. Just let God come and allow his sovereignty and his grace just to allow you to see that he has everything and that you don't have to fight for it because you're a son. Let's just sing. Quietly. Just let the Spirit move amongst us.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my for you. This is the air. This is the air.